The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
Take your Bibles today and turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And we actually read the scripture in the beginning of the service today, so we're good there. So I hope you all had a great week. I hope that your week was full of just growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ more than anything else today. So, and I hope you, as you come to worship here, that I don't know if you're like me, but when you come sometimes to worship, you have a lot of things on your mind during the week, and this is a time to just to trust the Lord for things. And I hope today that as you come and as you hear the word, as we've sung praises to him, that we just relinquish everything to him, because he loves us perfectly, and his desire is for his name to be praised in our lives. So we begin today this second part of this message that we began last week. So this is part two, and the title of the message is, Why Should We Listen to Jesus? And the subtitle is, Credentials We Cannot Deny. And so we began the message last week by asking the question, you know, does it matter or who we take our advice from or where we go for important things to be accomplished or fixed in our lives? And simply put, if we have a burst appendix, as I mentioned last week, we'd go to a qualified surgeon because we know that he or she has the credentials to do such an operation. So if you need a car fixed, as I mentioned, don't come to me, but you're going to go to a person with credentials that would indicate that they've been trained in some manner to fix cars. And most of this is just kind of common sense, right? It's just like, well, of course, I'm not going to go, if I have a burst appendix, I'm not going to go to a dentist. You know, that's just kind of commonsensical stuff. But it's interesting that when people are dealing with some of the most important things in their lives, suffering, tribulation, doubt, you know, why I exist, the purpose of life, what's going to happen to them after they die, questions like this, the tendency sometimes is to go to people who have credentials that don't even compare with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet people will go to that, or they'll go to alternative things to help them through different things. Now, in our introduction to the book of Hebrews 2 weeks ago, we noted that God told us that he's speaking to us now, in these last days, as he calls them. And that's what we are in these last days. And he has chosen to speak to us, we read in verse 1, through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the natural question to come up to the title of the message, is it really in the title of the message today? Why should we listen to Jesus? He says he wants to speak to us, but why should we listen to Jesus? And most of us would say, well, God the Father tells us in this passage that we should listen to him, so that kind of ends it. But what's interesting is that the Holy Spirit, writing through the writer of Hebrews, he gives us these reasons or these credentials that help us to be assured that Jesus is the one that we should listen to. And he doesn't just give us some flimsy kind of credentials, but credentials that are undeniable. They are of such a magnitude that if you truly understand what Jesus or what the writer of Hebrews is saying here, you can't deny that we must listen to Jesus. So last week we talked about three credentials or three clear reasons why we should listen to Jesus. And I'm going to run through them very quickly. We've had a lot of people in and out, so you might not have been here last week. And by the way, keep praying for people. We have lots of people on vacation. Kevin went on vacation for a couple weeks, so you can pray for him and Hannah that they would be refreshed in their time away. But three clear things that we talked about last week. The first thing was that he, Jesus, is the heir of all things. And so we concluded from the scripture in Hebrews 1 that every single aspect of the universe, from all parts of the universe, from atoms to all parts of the universe, from the natural created things to the spiritually created things, that Jesus is the heir of all of it. Everything belongs to him, and it says very clearly in this passage, by divine appointment. And then, secondly, we learned in the second part of the verse verse 2, is that he created the world. So that Jesus created the world. So Jesus is that intermediate agent of God the Father who created all things. The scripture says that through whom also he created the world. And then we confirm that by looking at John chapter 1 and Colossians 1:15 and then 1 Corinthians 8:6 last week. And we noted that it says literally the same thing, that Jesus is this intermediate agent of God the Father. So it was through him that he created the world. But we also noted that Jesus created the world, meaning not simply the physical world, that is the natural world that includes matter, but he created both matter and history, the universe of time and space. He created the content of everything in the world. And we spent a few extra minutes last week showing how this doctrine of creation is so vital to so many things, including the very reason for our existence. For if we believe somehow that we came by chance through just a bunch of chemicals that got together by chance, then literally we would have no purpose in life, nor would we actually be responsible for anything we did. For we, as we mentioned last week, how could you hold me responsible for anything that I did, any kind of terrible activity I might commit, if it's just a bunch of chemicals that came together that caused me to do this? And by the way, just for fun, since we're here together and all, the doctrine of creation does some things that I want to let you know that it kind of refutes certain isms. And one of them is atheism. Atheism is refuted by this doctrine of creation because the scripture tells us that God created. There is a God. Polytheism is refuted. The idea that there are many gods because the scripture says that God created, that there is one God who is in three persons who created. And then evolution is actually refuted because it says very clearly that God created all things with a purpose. All things didn't just evolve by some type of chance. And then this idea of pantheism actually is refuted. Pantheism is the idea that God is in everything because God is apart from creation. There's the creator and there's the creation. So it's clear that there is a distinction between the two. So the idea that everything is God, a rock is God, a tree is God, and all that is refuted by this doctrine of creation. And then also naturalism is refuted because the supernatural actually exists. God does exist, and so there's more than just the physical order. Now, all that comes out of the doctrine of creation. So we learned that he's the heir of all things last week. We learned that he created the world, and then last week we also learned that he's the radiance of God's glory. So we learned that Jesus reflects the majesty of God, that is that Shekinah glory we talked about last week. And as light streams from a source of light, and you can't separate the sun's light from the sun itself, so no one can separate the nature of Christ from the nature of the Father we talked about last week. So you cannot separate Christ's glory from the nature of God. So when we see Jesus, we most fully see the glory of God. So again, those credentials, I think, are enough. They're enough for me anyway, to actually listen to Jesus. But what's interesting is the writer of Hebrews, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to list four more undeniable credentials. And we're going to look at those this morning. And when we look at these, if we start looking at these credentials, you have to come to the point where you have to say, we really don't have any choice, meaning if we are wise, but to listen to Jesus. So here's my prayer for you today as we finish out these credentials this morning. I want you to leave here more confident than ever that to listen to Jesus is the only way to live. That's one goal I have this morning. And secondly, I want you to leave here loving Christ more than you ever have, simply because he allows us to worship him. And as you see how great he is, he allows us this privilege to worship him because of this great love he has for us. And that's what it is. I don't know if you realize what's going on here this morning, but we are, as I mention often, we're here, but there are literally myriads and myriads and myriads of angels in heaven and those who have died who are worshiping the living God, and then churches all over the world, and we're all doing this together. And that's a privilege to worship the living God. So I want you to leave here loving Christ more than ever. And I want you, Christian, to be encouraged that no matter what you're going through now, this Jesus, because of his credentials, is your answer. No one can give you the comfort that this Jesus can give. And then if you're here this morning and you're a seeker of sorts, one who is questioning this whole thing about God and Jesus, so my prayer is that these words today, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, are going to allow you to believe that Jesus is best, as we have titled this series about Hebrews. There is no one greater. He truly is the Savior of the world. The fact is, He created us in His image. And we have worth because we are created in His image. But a problem occurred, as we all know. Adam disobeyed God, the scripture tells us, and that without Jesus, we are now in this bondage to sin. We are without Christ, we're fallen creatures. And so Christ came to absorb that punishment for that sin. He was buried. He arose from the dead. He defeated death. And now He implores us. He really commands us to come to Him, trusting in the work that He did. And He tells us then that we need to repent, to turn from our sins, and trust by faith in His finished work. So if you're a seeker today, I hope that as we go through these credentials, that the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself to you. So that's my prayer for us today. So now let's begin by looking at the fourth credential that gives us another undeniable reason to look to Jesus. So look with me in verse 3. Of Hebrews chapter 1. And by the way, we're going to look at a lot of different scripture this morning in just a little bit. I think some of it will be up there for you, so you won't have to turn quickly or get your thumbs moved quickly, whichever you do. But here's what the scripture says in verse 3, that He is the radiance of the glory of God. And then notice this, the exact imprint of His nature. So Jesus is the exact image of God's being. The words exact imprint here, they come from a word that we get the word character from. And it originally was used of an instrument or a tool that was used for engraving. But then later, the word was used for the impression formed by the tool or the actual result. So just as an image or on a coin is the same as its mold, it is an exact image, so Christ is like God. The Son is exactly like the Father in character in all things. Jesus, God the Son, shares this divine nature with God the Father. So in this passage, we notice, though, that there is a difference between a human son and a father. Now, normally, if we were to take a father and a son, normally you put them right next to each other, and there's a little bit that they kind of look like each other a little bit. Would you agree to that? Sometimes that doesn't always happen. What's funny is, this is not funny, but it is kind of funny. My middle brother is dark-haired. He's skinny. He just doesn't look like the rest of the Eulers, okay? And so actually he was born in Japan as I was, and there was some question when he was young whether they got the right baby. And he didn't exactly look like another Euler. So it's not always the case. But most of the time, a father does look like the Son does. But the difference between the divine Son, Jesus, and His Father is that the scripture tells us that He is the exact representation of the Father. Now, John 1:12 told us, or 1:2 last week, we noted that Jesus, He was in the beginning with God. And Philippians 2:6 told us that who though He was in the form of God, He didn't count equality a thing to be grasped. And Colossians 1:15 last week told us that He is the image of the invisible God. So to see Christ is to see what the Father is like. This credential tells us clearly that Jesus is God. And those heresies that claim that Jesus is simply a created being are shown in this passage to be false. Maybe you've heard of Arianism. The idea of Arianism is the idea that Jesus was a created being, that God created Jesus, and He's like number two. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, believe this idea that Jesus is a God, but He's not part of the Trinity. And so that is a heresy. And this passage very clearly tells us that Jesus isn't a created being. He's the exact image of God the Father's nature. In other words, He is God. So that's one thing we learn, is He's the exact image of God's being. And then fifthly, He upholds the universe, it tells us. And notice what the passage says. It goes on to say that He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Now, the idea that Jesus upholds the universe doesn't mean that we go back to Greek mythology. Some of you know Greek mythology, right? And you know the story of how Atlas holds up the world. He upholds the world. Well, we're not talking about that here. This is not the meaning of this verse. There is so much more intimacy and personal understanding of what Jesus is doing by upholding the universe by the word of his power. The word that's used for uphold has the idea that Jesus is literally carrying along the universe. In the book of Luke, it talks about a sick man who was taken and they moved him in the presence of Jesus. And literally, that's the same word. He carries, they literally were carrying him entirely, not just holding him, but moving him along. And so Jesus is carrying along the universe in the sense of he's guiding it, he's sustaining it, and he's moving it towards its end, the final consummation. So in other words, Jesus upholds the universe. He has a goal in mind, and that is to someday completely restore what has been fallen. And someday there will be a new heavens and there will be a new earth, and that is the goal. And Jesus is carrying all this along according to Hebrews chapter 1 here. So it's in this present tense, by the way. So the picture is that he is continually being involved in the universe. Now, there are people who we call deists who believe that Jesus created the world, but then basically he kind of kicked back on his throne and he's kind of just letting it run by itself. That's a deistic view. This totally takes away from the idea of any type of deistic view, because that view just says Jesus isn't actually involved in anything. And by the way, the sad thing about this is that there are many who call themselves Christians who even believe that they this concept of deism by the way they live, they think that God is not actively involved in things. But this verse contradicts such philosophy. Jesus is now continuously, actively, purposely involved in all that he has created. And since Jesus created all things, it also requires that he keeps it going. So he carries it along to its consummation, to its goal, as I mentioned already, to its ending. Now, a passage that I love in Matthew chapter 6, on the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 25, helps us see this. So I want us to look at several passages that help us understand how, in fact, Jesus upholds the universe. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me, and it might be up on the screen, to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. The scripture says that, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. And this is Jesus speaking. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And then listen to this. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds the birds? According to Jesus, he feeds the birds. Are you of not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, who takes care of the field? Jesus. Which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we see clearly in Matthew 6 that Jesus is carrying along even the birds and the flowers. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Now listen to this. And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Now I have several sparrows that invade a certain area that I would love to see fall to the ground. That's all I'm going to say about those sparrows. But the good news is that when one does fall to the ground, by accident or on purpose, everyone, the Father knows about it. And then he goes on to say, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. So you see, he carries along even the hairs of our heads. And then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works. Works means he accomplishes or he brings about all things according to the counsel of his will. You see that? If he was not upholding the universe, how could he possibly bring about all things according to the counsel of his will? He brings about everything. And then in Job chapter 37, I love this. Even inanimate objects, God is caring, upholding, guiding, propelling. Inanimate things, I should say. Listen to Job 37 and verse 6. For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth. Likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he made may know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. From his chambers comes the whirlwinds and cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds gather his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them. You see, even snow and ice comes from God. He's carrying that along. And then even animals he upholds. In Psalm 104, listen to this in verse 27. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. Referring to the animals, they look to God to give them their food. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You see, God is upholding, Jesus is upholding all things. And then that great passage in Colossians 1:17 that I've talked about, I think, many times before, it says that he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him, in Jesus, all things hold together. Now, what that means is, what we've talked about before, is that all that is held together by Jesus. He upholds all things. If, in fact, again, if he decided to let go of those atoms that hold everything together, everything would disintegrate. It would be gone. Just like that. This is our God. This is the Jesus that we should be listening to, because he upholds all things. In him, all things are held together. What credentials? I mean, he upholds the universe by the word of his power, his mighty words. So listen, though, as we think about this, to a powerful application of this credential today. I want you to think about this, especially you who are suffering. You who are doubting what's going on in this world. And it might be just a little bit of suffering. You know, there's all kinds of different ways that we suffer, isn't it? Sometimes there are big things going on in our lives, huge things. And sometimes they're just little things. Sometimes it's that hangnail kind of stuff. Those hangnails, man, I hate those things. They hurt and they bother me, but I can take care of them pretty easy. But the point is, there's lots of different types of suffering. And maybe some of you are doubting the love of God. Maybe you truly don't believe that God loves you right now. And that's hard. I don't understand all that, how this is true sometimes. But many of us as believers, we have a hard time believing that God actually loves us, even though we know that he loves us. Well, here's the good news from the fact that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus is in control. It's really that simple. He's not simply supporting a dead weight. He's not Atlas. He is actively, personally carrying all things to their end. And I don't pretend to understand all that. If I was to stand up here and say, oh, I get it. I get why people are suffering. I get why the hangnail happens. I get why the big stuff happens. Well, just call me crazy, because I am. I do not understand it. And not everyone understands it. But what we are assured of is that God is upholding everything by the word of his power. And so someday we're going to read these words, or we're going to experience these words, excuse me, in Revelation 21 and verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Now listen to this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. That's the hope. And that's the hope that we have as followers of Jesus, because he upholds all things by the word of his power. He's the heir of all things. He created the world. He's the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact image of God's being. He upholds the universe. And then, sixthly, he provided forgiveness of sin. Look at verse 3. It says that he after making purification for sins. You see, at this point, The writer of Hebrews goes from speaking of God's providential functions to his personal relations with us. We've gone from looking at the person of the Christ, in other words, who is this Jesus, to his work for us. And specifically, in this passage, this portion, in forgiving us of our sin. And so here the writer begins to allude to Christ's work as our priest. And we're going to see this later on in Hebrews 9 and 10. And we're going to go through that, hopefully, real close, like, so you understand, and I understand, Hebrews 9 and 10, of the idea of how Jesus is our priest. And the idea is that he does the work that only he can do by being this perfect Lamb of God. But it is here in this credential that he provided forgiveness of sins that we see God's grace shown to us. And the other credentials, we kind of stand in awe of a God who creates and upholds and is the exact imprint of God the Father. But now we see Jesus as the only one who freely offered his life for us in our place. You see, he is transcendent. He is the transcendent God, meaning he's so far above us. He's totally other, but he's also the immanent God. He is for us. So far above us is Jesus. He's totally other, but because of his great love, he came down to dwell among men. And for our sake, the scripture says, that God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, the writer of Hebrews then explains a little bit what Jesus did as he purified us and forgave our sins by his shed blood. So I want to read this to you, and we'll go in depth a little bit later on, sometime in the year 2029. But we'll get there to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. That's a funny joke about how long this is going to take to get through Hebrews. All right, verse 11 of chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, even through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. Now listen to this, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So what we learn of this is that Jesus is best because his shed blood purifies us. It forgave us of our own sin. The old covenant sin purified on the outside, but Jesus purifies us internally. So now we're set free from this bondage of sin and death by trust in his finished work on the cross at Calvary. So he provided forgiveness of sin. And then in the final credential, we see this. He rules the cosmos. Look with me at verse 3. It says that after he purified us, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, to be seated on the right hand of the majesty is to be in a place of authority and favor. In other words, Jesus rules the cosmos. All that is, whether visible or invisible, he is king of all. In Hebrews 10, in verse 11 and 12, it gives us the picture of why he actually is seated. It says this, and every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Speaking of the old covenant, the old sacrificial system, they sacrificed. It was a bloody mess at the temple. Sometimes we have this picture of the temple of this beautiful temple, and it is beautiful. It was beautiful, but it was a bloody mess because of the nature of the sacrifices that continually had to be offered, but they could never take away sin. Constant sacrifices. But, verse 12, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. You see, the Old Testament priests couldn't sit down because their work was never finished. They had to constantly sacrifice. But Jesus finished the work by his death, burial, and resurrection. And you remember when he cried out, "It is finished," and he proved it then by sitting down. And now he continues to rule and reign. And what is he doing? He's uniting all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth, until that final day when he returns for us who trust in him as Lord and Savior. So you see, he rules everything. He's sitting down. It is a picture of what he's doing, but he's sitting down for us right now because he's king. He's Lord of all and ruling and reigning. So that's it. Seven credentials. I hope seven encouragements to listen to Jesus. So all of us, we can clearly see that Jesus is the heir of all things, that Jesus created the world, that he's the radiance of God's glory, that he's the exact image of God's being. He upholds the universe. He provided forgiveness of sin, and that Jesus rules the cosmos. So I want to end with this today, and I really want to end with simply what I already mentioned to you, and I prayed what happened as we looked at this portions of Hebrews together to explore why we should listen to Jesus. So I want you to consider, I just want you to leave here confident that to listen to Jesus is the only way to live. And I hope, and my prayer is, that whether you're a follower of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, that you will understand that this means an ongoing, daily being in God's word, obedience to God's word, being with the body of Christ, learning what it means to listen to Jesus. And I want you to leave here loving Christ more than you ever have. Again, simply because he allows us to worship him. In just a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to sing just a couple songs of worship to him. And what a great time just to end our service to expressing our love for Christ because of his great love for us. And Christian, if you are here again, and I want you to be encouraged, again, as I mentioned, that no matter what you're going through, that, again, from that hangnail to the big stuff, that this Jesus, because of these credentials, he is your answer. That no one can give you the comfort that he can. And then as I mentioned too, I pray that if you're a seeker, you're someone who is questioning, who is this Jesus? And what do I need to do to become a follower of Jesus? That the words today will push you to fall on your knees before Jesus and repent of your sin and turn to him in faith, believing. Ask him to save you today. That's my prayer. And as we've looked at just these few verses in Hebrews, they hold so much. And next week, we're going to look at angels, and we're going to look at, see how God in this cosmos and all these angels, how he uses angels to give glory to his name. But this morning, we learn again, as we're going to learn all through Hebrews 1, that Jesus is best. And I would encourage you this morning, please, please trust him today as your Lord. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this passage. Lord, there's so much of your goodness here, so much of just knowing who you are. Lord, will you ingrain upon our hearts, put it upon our hearts in a deep way to know you better this morning. And God, may we leave here excited, encouraged, joyful that you are Lord of everything. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.